Hello and welcome once again to The Blueprints. This is Canada's Conservative Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Schmale, Member of Parliament for Halliburton, Forth, and Lakes Brock, with new content for you every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We are not taking time off this summer because the Liberal agenda is always moving. And because it is, we ask that you like, subscribe, comment, share this program. Together, we can push back against what the Liberals are doing. And this is probably content you're not getting in the mainstream media. Because it is, we ask that you, if you can't watch or listen to this entire program right this second, download it, listen to it on platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it, it is out there. Today, we're going to talk about the world energy market. We're going to talk about Canadian energy. We are going to talk about the importance of energy independence. And to talk about that, we have a great friend of the show, the Member of Parliament for Calgary Centre, the Shadow Minister for Natural Resources, Greg MacLean. Welcome back on the show. Always a pleasure having you.
Jamie, thank you for having me. It is always a pleasure being here. So much appreciated.
Well, I remember last time we had you, we were in the studio and we talked about this topic in particular, not focused a whole show on it, but we did touch on it. So let's follow up on that. Domestic energy and what is going on in the world. You had a National Post article, and I'll pull it up in front of me, on July 28th, 2022, energy ignorance on display in Canada and Germany. Why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Well, thank you, Jamie. The article I wrote at the time, and obviously you got to fit it in that 600 word format to get inside a publication. It really is about how our policies on energy around the world have led us to where we are today. And where we are today is best exemplified by Germany in the fact that they are losing energy security. That is, they're entirely dependent on a hostile party at their borders in order to keep their economy rolling this winter, in order to heat their homes, in order to light their homes. They are dependent on Russia supplying them gas, not just gas though, but also oil. This is all based on a historical energy policy that Angela Merkel came up with when she was Chancellor of Germany. It was called Energiewende. And what that was a pushback towards solar and wind as the solution to how they exit from nuclear power. Now, Germany's wanted to exit from nuclear power. Angela Merkel made this compromise in order to gain the support of the Green Party and, you know, really support her coalition. The cause of that, of course, now is over-dependence on Russian supply of their resource market, oil and natural gas in particular. But let's talk about natural gas, because this is exactly what I spoke with the German ambassador about a year and a half ago when I met with her. At that point in time, they were looking at approving a project called Nord Stream 2, which was a doubling of the pipeline supplying gas from Russia directly to Germany. And I was speaking against it, how it would put them in a position where they were so dependent upon a hostile foreign party potentially cutting off their gas supply and more or less making them completely energy insecure at that point in time. And I pushed, of course, as my job is, to try and get them committed to some Canadian LNG supply and develop that infrastructure so they'd also have a balance, a diversification, if you will, of their natural gas supply. And those projects in Canada would take anywhere up to 5 years, if you will, to actually get rolling. Remember, what happens in Canada is projects get held up by our current regulatory environment, so things don't get done. But we need this to get done. I think it's the big impetus for us at this point in time. The one thing we've learned in this, of course, is that get stuff done because the world needs our energy. If we had these LNG plants 10 years ago, there were 18 Canadian proposals for LNG export from Canada. If we had one of those up and running right now, we don't even have one, we'd be able to provide some of the security the world requires while one of the world's biggest energy suppliers is cutting off supply to Western Europe.
Well, that's when we have the conversation. I don't think conservatives are against, well, we're definitely not against green energy. We support that. But what we support is an abundance and a variety of options within the energy market. So it's A plus B, not B minus A. We like abundance equals peace, right? When there's shortage, there's conflict. And that's what we're trying to get across. Like, if you want to add to the energy supply, that's a good thing because competition is good. We see a lowering of prices. We have a variety of options. But when you totally take away sectors of our economy, like the Liberals are doing with oil and gas here in Canada, and relying on other unproven technologies at this point, you are going to cause shortage. We need to add different options to this energy portfolio.
You're correct. We are the whole thing that you're looking at as far as energy supply. And recall the article I wrote is about energy ignorance. There is no forecast out there that doesn't have us consuming more energy in the world in 20 and 30 years. It's all forecasting the world will need more energy. Where does that energy come from is the question. Wind and solar, as we point out in the article there, at points in time in Germany, it provides less than 2% of the required energy to run the factories, to heat the homes, to light the homes. So the compromises are going to have to be made at some point in time there. The base load is going to continue to provide the power force. No different from Canada, by the way. And I'm in Alberta. We have the Alberta Electrical System Operator here. And there's points in time in this winter in Alberta, you can imagine it's minus 40 below in parts of Alberta. My part of the country got down to minus 37 below this past winter. At that point in time, our alternative energy, which we'll classify as wind and solar, supplied less than 1% of the power required in Alberta. And they represent about 17% of our capacity. So 70% of our built capacity providing less than 1% when we really need the power. Therefore, we need to continue to have those baseload power mechanisms, whether they be natural gas, which we're mostly moving off of coal, natural gas or nuclear. Now, nuclear is something I think you and I have spoken about before. If we're going to address greenhouse gas emissions, one of the technologies we need to look at is how we economically deliver nuclear power to Canadians. And that's something that, again, the Germans have turned away from by choice here. France, by the way, right on the door of Germany, has increased their nuclear power supply. So they're trying to rebuild some of their power by nuclear in France, and Germany's turned completely away from it. These are political choices. So recognizes the European Union, that covers one broad political entity, but there's a bunch of other entities within that one broad political entity, France and Germany, that are going in different directions and how they see that baseload power. The problem that Germany encountered right now, it's turning on a whole bunch of coal, and it's dirty coal in Germany. It's way dirtier than Canadian coal. And that's how they're going to fund, they're going to fuel most of their baseload power this winter. But the point I'd like to make, and I'll quote Sabine Sparwasser, who's the ambassador, but she came before the committee of House Commons Committee on Foreign Affairs last week and said, "We made a huge strategic mistake by creating such a dependency on Russia. It is a grievous mistake. It happened over many, many decades, since the 1970s, actually." Adding that Germany has made legislative changes to fast track its energy transition. I think there's a reckoning on the part of the German government that for too long they relied on cheap gas. That's Melanie Joly's comment, okay? Well, Melanie Joly, the reason they relied on cheap gas is because getting gas from Russia was about half as expensive as getting LNG from North America because of the process we have to go through to supply that gas. Nevertheless, that is part of the price and the cost, if you will, of energy security. This winter, Germany will enter energy poverty. If they have a cold winter in Europe, we are going to see much dislocation, much discomfort. However, it's our job to push forward with a world where we believe in the rights of democratic states to continue to exist. What Russia's done in the Ukraine, is the invasion, is abysmal. And I think we need to continue to stand by Ukraine and make sure we enforce all the sanctions against Russia to make sure that we come up with the support of one of our democratic partners in the world. The energy issues we're going to have to recognize is going to be more expensive, but let's start getting those energy solutions built to help Europe.
Well, you remember back in Ontario, probably 16 years ago, the provincial Liberals at the time decided to start the Green Energy Act, which resulted in billions of dollars in subsidies going to wind and solar plants and solar farms. And when the money ran out, the jobs went away, unfortunately, and a lot of them were shipped off overseas. But at the same time, people went into energy poverty because the cost of electricity went up substantially to make up for these subsidies going elsewhere to these individuals. And it really caused problems within our grid. And it was less than 5% at peak of our energy supply here in Ontario. So it was a lot of pain for very little gain. But what happened in the House of Commons in the last session? the NDP had a motion to tax the oil and gas companies because they made Erfinger's, quote, record profits. Well, if you're going to tax the oil and gas companies, what do you think is going to happen to the price of oil and gas? It is absolutely ridiculous, their line of thinking.
It is. The inflationary suggestions that this government goes through is ridiculous. Of course, the NDP piles on all the time because they think that corporations are taking money. Well, corporations are making money. Yes, they are. And in the high oil and gas prices, yes, there are some profits being made by oil and gas companies. That makes up for 7 years of losses. There aren't too many companies in Canada, too many industries that have gone through 7 years of losses the way the oil and gas industry has. So some of this is a makeup from some of the losses they've had over the last 7 years to repay some of their investors for the losses they've taken. You do not judge an industry on 1 year's performance. Let's make sure we understand that. Let's also make sure that when the oil and gas industry prospers, the Canadian economy prospers immensely. We have a way, you know, the economic rent we get from the oil and gas industry in Canada is far superior to that used in almost any country around the world. Norway is our only real competitor on how we perform environmentally and from a social cost perspective on our oil and gas industry. So this year, it looks like the oil and gas industry is going to provide about $50 billion of economic rent to Canadian taxpayers. That's money that's going to fund schools, hospitals, all kinds of government programming. And at the same time, this government's going to continue to run a $52 billion deficit. That's ridiculous. We've got to start to get to paying our bills. Part of those bills get paid when these companies are prosperous and they actually provide that money back to Canadian taxpayers so we have the services that we do need to pay for.
Inflation's at 9% here in Canada. My goodness. All they're doing is spending. As you just pointed out, they're going to keep spending. It's like trying to cure cancer with more cancer. They're just spending again and again and again. This is going to be, I think, very long-term pain for a lot of Canadians. Now they're talking about reducing fertilizer use for our farmers by 30%. This is just on and on and on. We're going to see hurt by the government on average Canadians just trying to get by.
You're right. The cost of food is going to go up under this government's plans from both a production perspective, if they cut back on fertilizer. Farmers will go out of business, so we'll be producing less, therefore there'll be less supply. So cost of food will go up. Cost of distributing food will go up as we continue to press down upon our distributors across Canada and their cost of getting food to market. So there's all kinds of inflation this government's building into it. But on top of that, they don't recognize the virus they're causing here with this overspending is causing the inflation. Continue to watch this because you've already seen some protests finally arrive from the governor of Bank of Canada. Now that I think he realizes that he's being judged on his performance here and his, well, let me be quite blunt about it, his non-performance in managing inflation. And that is his main job. He's completely failed at it. The whole Bank of Canada has. So they've stumbled into bed with the Liberal government. Yes, we can continue to spend and spend and spend with these endless deficits. Well, we've doubled our debt in Canada right now. We're $1.3 trillion in debt as a country. And that doesn't include our subnational debt. That is our debts of all the provinces. Ridiculous overspending going on. It does have a consequence. It has a consequence in inflation. Most likely seen in the housing debacle. And we've only seen the start of that at this point in time, Jamie. It is absurd that these decision makers are not coming to the conclusion that they need to step back and actually stop causing the problems that are becoming more and more severe in the economy.
It seems the government seems to be creating one problem after another and then trying to fix the problem that they caused in the first place. But I think I said 9% inflation. It is 8.1, so I do apologize. We are running out of time. I wanted to continue this about inflation, but I just, in the absence of an abundance of time, I'm just going to quickly go back to the article that you talked about and we've been referencing in the National Post and Financial Post. Canada did do something quite interesting, which was help along the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, the twinning of that pipeline, by releasing the turbines back to Russia. Vlad, the president of Ukraine, not exactly overly happy about that either.
That's Jamie, that's Nord Stream 1. Nord Stream 2 built, but never turned on. So Nord Stream 2 was a twinning of Nord Stream 1. And before it got turned on, you had significant lobbying from the United States in particular of Germany. So don't turn this on because look at what Russia is doing. Russia had, you know, Germany had lots of foresight on what was going to happen. They had all kinds of warnings, including from me, that this is where you are putting yourself as far as energy dependency goes. So please look for other options. And now they're coming saying, well, we shouldn't have done what we did. Well, you know, how many people had to tell you that in the first place? If Nord Stream 2 had been turned on, think about the double dependency Germany would have right now on Russian gas. So this is something, the actual compressors, the turbines we talk about that get repaired at a facility in Montreal, Canada reneged on its sanctions on Russia to support our partners in Ukraine in order to deliver these compressors back. And the false narrative that I've heard the two ministers, Minister Joly and Minister Wilkinson, deliver on this is that we had to do that so that we could call Russia's bluff. We'd make them kind of say that they, you know, it's not Canada's fault. Well, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. It doesn't matter who gets blamed. We know Russia is not a reliable partner. We know they're at war with the democracy in Europe. We know what they're going to extract a whole bunch of value for the resource this winter from a dependent Europe. Now, let me just go into that one final bit here, Jamie. Recognize that when Russia is in that much control of European energy, it gets to determine supply. Supply therefore determines price and scarcity. It would surprise you to know the natural gas deliveries in Europe are about 7 times more expensive than they are in Canada. It's ridiculous what they have to pay for natural gas supply right now in Europe. And that's because of the position they put themselves in. We need to make sure we don't put Canada in that same position where Canadians are paying 7 times more for our energy because of bad government policy.
Well, the carbon tax here in Canada that keeps going up every single year isn't exactly helping either. Greg, we are running out of time. I have a whole slew of other questions for you, like I always do. But as you know, the guest always gets the last word. So I turn the floor over to you.
Well, thank you, Jamie. Great being here. And I hope everybody takes a look at these. Like I say, the article is about energy ignorance. We have a follow-up article on it as well. People need to understand that energy is a system. Energy has to be on and to be available all the time in order to fuel our economy. Heater homes, lighter homes. These are things you cannot turn off or depend on for a little switch. We're going to be consuming more of it. Let's make sure we transition in any way effectively and with our eyes wide open about the costs and what the effects, including the environmental effects of every one of those transitions look like. Thanks for the time today, Jamie. Really appreciate being here.
Always a pleasure. Greg McLean, the Member of Parliament for Calgary Centre, also the Shadow Minister for Natural Resources. Always a pleasure and always too short of time to tackle all the issues he's dealing with. But again, we always have him back and we'll do so again. We appreciate your time as well with new content every single Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We ask that you like, comment, subscribe, share this program. If you can't watch or listen to it at the exact moment, please download it, tell your friends about it, listen to it. Platforms like CastBox, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you name it, it is out there. Until next Tuesday, remember, low taxes, less government, more freedom. That's the blueprint.